Everybody doing all right? Thank you for coming this morning. Thank you for watching online as well. Just one quick announcement. We will have our men's meeting next Sunday night at 6 o'clock. So if you're a man and you want to grow in your manliness in Jesus, that's next Sunday night at 6 o'clock. So that's always a really good time, and there's always food involved. And the series we're doing has just been really good, and it's just challenging us to be just stronger men. Amen? Amen. All right. Okay, well, let's get right into our message this morning. So last week, we started talking about the creed. If you weren't here last week, the creed basically is this. I want to reteach the whole message. I'm not going to do that. Refrain from teaching the whole message. Let me just read it. This is the creed that we're doing here this morning. It's up on the screen. If you want to read along with me, you can, but I'm just going to read it. It reads this, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Amen. All right, so we talked about three things last week. If you want to find out what the creed is all about, go listen to last week's message. But we basically said three things about the creed. First of all, we said it was old, right? Really old. And people have been doing creeds for 1,800 years. So this is not something that happened in the Enlightenment period. This happened 1,800 years ago, right? So they've been doing these creeds and professions of faith for 1,800 years. And so we're actually, it's amazing that we're entering into a tradition that's been around for that long. Amen. And so we said three things about the creed. It provides a worded document for our affirmation of faith. We also said it provides protection against false doctrine, which is really, really important. One of the reasons why we're doing this is we need to get back to what we believe as Christians and to the basic tenets of our faith. And this doctrine helps to protect us from false doctrine. And lastly, it's a rallying cry for unity in the body of Christ. We need unity in the body of Christ. So I don't care where you land on the spiritual gifts, where you land on these things. These basic tenets of faith unite us as a body of believers. Amen. So the Baptists, the Lutherans, all of us, we are one people, and basically we all believe this basic tenets of faith, and this is what unites us. Which I believe will be crucial in the next years, in the next season of our nation and in our world. We have to know what we believe. Amen. And so much to say about that. So last week we began the teaching about it, but this week we're going to start the basic idea. We're going to teach kind of line by line and idea by idea out of the creed. So this week, we're talking about, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Let's just pray for a moment. Father, we look to you. God, would you reveal yourself in a real way this morning? God, if we've had misconceptions of who you are, God, I pray that you would, if we've forgotten who you are, who you really are, God, would you help us? Would you reveal yourself today? And God, may we stand in wonder and just awe of who you are. I pray the weight of your glory would fall in this place and those who are watching. God, I thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, let's start here. I believe in God. Let's start there. As Christians, I don't know if you know this or not, as Christians, we believe in God. Basic tenets of faith, I believe in God, right? So Even though the number of non-religious people are growing in the United States, still a vast number of people here in our country still believe in God, right? That number is the number of people who are the number of people who don't is growing, but not drastically. The number of people who still believe in God is the vast majority of people in our nation. Right? There is a growing number of people who are confused about who God is, right? God is not just a higher power. He's not just a spiritual force. God has thoughts, a will, and emotions, right? He is a person like, but he's not like us, right? And here's what I think that needs the drop of reality that needs to drop in us as we push forward is that this story is not about us. It's not about me. It's about him. It's always been about him. Matter of fact, you are born and you're going to die and you're going to go on to eternity. But God has been from eternity, before you were ever even thought of, right? Like, before this planet even knew about Julie, God, right? Before everything, there was God. That's the God that we serve. This story is not about us. And let me just say, I probably shouldn't say it right now, but I will. It's a little early in my message. But the idea that this whole thing and God exists to somehow make my life better, and that's the center feature of the gospel, is incorrect doctrine. This is all about him. All about him. So with that, I'm going to read a lot of scripture this morning. And I want you to see God differently. And could it be that, as Jessica talked about, Jessica Drinkwater, there's two Jessicas talking this morning. Jessica Drinkwater is talking about our faith. Could it be our faith is not where we want it to be because we don't see God for who he is? That God is like this. God is so much bigger. Genesis 1 and verse 2, we believe in God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. He is Creator God. When there was nothing, he made something out of nothing. Right? So let me read this. This is what King David says in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. God, let me just say this, God is the Almighty. He stands all by himself in power. So can you just, right where you're at, just say, God, I pray you'd reveal yourself in a great way as we read this scripture. It says this, David prays the Lord in verse 10. Praise the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise be to you, God, to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours is the greatness and power and the glory and majesty and splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You're the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power. Exalt and give strength to all. Now to our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. That's our God that we serve. The Hebrew word, when we talk about glory, the Old Testament, this word means like this weightiness or heaviness, right? It was used to talk about the essence or the importance, the greatness, the weightiness of someone's greatness or honor or power. When we talk about the glory of God, we're talking about who he is. Not just some, you know, glory thing, right? No, we're talking about the weightiness of who God really is. He owns it all. He owns it all. Every bit of it. right? And then read this. This is in Revelation 4. This is really lengthy, so just bear with me. I want you to, as we read this, I want you to kind of, you know, God gave us imagination for a reason, right? So I want you to think and get word pictures as we read this scripture. So here we see John in Revelation 4 desperately trying to vocalize what he's seeing, right? It reads this, it says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me was like a trumpet sound. 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.' At once, in the spirit, there was before me a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there, you hear, like, hear him trying desperately to try to verbalize what he's seeing. He could have probably said it better in tongues, right? And the one who sat on it had the appearance of jasper and ruby, a rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne was 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumbles, pearls. How do you say that word? Peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also, in front of the thrones, in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. And listen to this. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes from front to back. The first creature was like a lion. The second was, he's desperately trying to picture and say what he's seeing, was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had the face of a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each one of the creatures had six wings and covered with eyes all around and under its wing. Day and night they never stop saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' And whenever the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down to him who sits on the throne and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. They laid their crowns before them and says, 'You are worthy, O Lord of glory,'" "You are worthy, Lord our God, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." So, wow. Like, be honest. Like, as you went, you were like, what? Like, what am I reading? What am I seeing? Like, what's up with the faces and the eyes and the... Like, my point is this. God is not like us. He is other. And he is mighty. And whenever a human or a spiritual being comes into the presence of God, the first thing that they want to do is either bow and cry out for mercy, or they want to bow and cry out as an expression of worship. That's the immediate reaction of someone who comes into the presence of God. It's amazing. Isaiah, who comes, "Woe is me." That's our God. See, our God is not like your rich uncle that you go see every once in a while and he gives you a bunch of stuff. This is God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. That we can't, when God said, when Moses asked to see him, he said, "You can only see my back, because you can't see me and live." See, God is different, right? And then, like, so Job has his moment, right? And has all this stuff going on, and he's questioning God, and he's Remember that? Like you've read Job, right? Like he's questioning God, he's asking God why, and he's accusing God at times, and he's pointing his finger at God, and all of a sudden, God speaks. And this is what God says. It says, then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm and said, notice he didn't, this is not spoke out of the nice, peaceful waters. There are times when God speaks in the nice, peaceful, you know. He says, but he spoke to Job out of the storm and said, who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Sarcasm. And God, who stretched out the measuring line across it? See, we want to think that we kind of have it in our enlightenment. Period. We got it all figured out. No, God still looks at us and says, who do you think you are? Do you not understand who I am? God says, do you not understand that, like I love it. He says, where were you when I laid the foundations? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know, great and mighty Job. Job is in the midst of an awful situation. And God sits on his throne and says, let me tell you who I am. Don't question me. Right? See, God is not just our little genie in a bottle, that he just goes at our own whim. God has a will. He has desires. This is our God. And we think we're limited to our circumstances around us to determine our lives? Are you kidding me? He is God Almighty. The scripture says nations will rise and fall, but God will last forever. Forever. This is God we're talking about. Does God, are we a friend of God? Yes, we're a friend of God. But it's not, we need to realize who this friend is. And then here's what's amazing. And he is way beyond us. So, and then we can now understand why the psalmist said in Psalms 144, verse 3, it says, Lord, what are humans that you care for them? Mere mortals that you even think of them. Like who, God, who are we? When you get an image, when you understand who God is, that's the first thing you go, who am I? Little me, little insignificant me in the realms of the universe, that God would even, not just, forget that God loved, just to think about us and be mindful of us is amazing. Like we realize that he doesn't have to. He didn't have to. He can live all in his own glory, right? Who am I compared to him? What worth do I have that could be of any consequence to him? But here's the cool thing. It's the Cinderella story. You say, what do you mean? See, we put on the show, right? We put on this show of who, this display of who we think we are, and we think God cares for us because of that show. But just like the prince, no, see, God comes to us in our cindered, covered clothes, our old rags, our old garments. We were just a pauper living with a mean stepmother, the devil. And tormented by the evil stepsisters, the demons. And in God's love, he comes to us in our mess. Out of his palace, if you will, comes to us in our mess. And chooses us and takes us back to his palace with him. if that doesn't cause you to worship and thank God, He doesn't have to do any of it. In all of His glory, in all of His might, in all of His goodness, all of His splendor, and the weightiness of His glory, He chooses to come and love us. And come and rescue us. And be intimately involved in our life. It's God. It's God. Don't. Like, if we understood that, like, I don't need a worship cheerleader. No, I just worship Him. Because He's God. Church watching and here, have we forgotten who God is? Have we forgotten how great He is? If I saw Him in that splendor, would I worry about anything? And I knew the fact that that God loved me, would I worry about anything? He's so amazing. Amazing. God in all of His power and all of His glory loves us. Pursues us. He actually goes to our place in our junk. And then Jesus comes on the scene. Jesus is next week, but the Father. He comes on the scene and He gives us this name to call God. And He tells us that we can relate to God as Father. Father. And this word Father is basically papa, right, in the Greek. And it has to do with the relationship with a child and a parent. Not an older, but it has to do with a child and his parent, right? Jesus reveals God to us by calling Him Father. Yeah, the same one with when you read about all the 24 elders that are bowing down and all these wild-looking creatures bowing down to Him. God says, no, yeah, He's your Father. The owner of everything. The one who controls it all, ruler over all. He says, call Him your Father. That's amazing. So when Jesus reveals us to God by calling Him Father, it's relational. That now I can have a relationship with the Father. Right? I can have a relationship with God. See, and that word, like, so, you know, you see in the scriptures, in culture, in Greek, in culture then was, like, the father-son relationship was really a deal, right? Like, whenever you read your Bible, you see, well, there's Matthew, the son of Alphaeus, and this person, the son of so-and-so, this person, the so-and-so. Because what they were doing is as I am carrying on my father's name. I am carrying on his identity, and I'm carrying it in me. So there's a lot to say in that, because not only am I am created in my, like, I look like my dad, my earthly dad, right? Because he's my dad, right? I have characteristics of my earthly dad. So I carry that image of my father, right? You carry the image of your heavenly Father. There's image. You are in His likeness because your DNA of who you are, your Father. We are from Him, right? But then there's this also a thing where I'm not on my dad's equal. Like, I'm still the child, right? I'm not the adult son talking to my adult dad. I'm the child relating to my father whom I need to be submitted to. We don't talk about that part of the father. But I need to be submitted to him, submitted to his will, submitted to his ways.
And then we get to reflect his image. So I am a Lear. I carry that name from my dad, right? And I can choose how I, you know, the scripture talks about the man's name, right? Your name means something. And so how do I reflect God by his name? Let me do it back in the natural. Like, how do I carry the Lear name, right? Like, you can think of names that have been carried in history for good and for bad, right? So how do you carry it? So it was really important back then that if you're the Matthew, son of Alphaeus, or whoever, son of whoever, like, you carried that name, and your idea was you need to carry that name well in that culture. You carry that name well. So when we're sons and daughters of God, we need to carry his name well. We need to reflect him. Because when I go somewhere, that's one of those Lears. That's one of those Lears. Well, how do I carry that name? So when I go somewhere and I say, I'm a Christian, or I'm a child of God, how do I carry that name of the one who sits on the throne, clothed in majesty and in glory? And then Jesus tells us that we're friends of his. See, when we remember, do you feel, is it just me? Or do you feel it that maybe the church has lost something? Think about all the stuff that we hear and the self-help stuff that we hear. How can I get more blessing? How can I get more of God's good? How can I have more peace? How can I have more of this? How can I get God to give me this? How can I get? And there's the greatness of that is God chooses to bless us, chooses to fill us with his power, chooses to give us favor on the earth, gives us the power to gain wealth. He chooses to. But it's not about me. It's not about me. I am not the center of the universe, and God spins around me. The story, I am just a, what do you call him, the person that's not the star, right? I'm a supporting actor in his story that he's telling, right? So we need to, a couple of things. We need to see God differently. My heart and prayer this week is when you go into your prayer closet, when you go and you spend time with the Lord, it's God, he is and the Holy Spirit comes. We'll talk about the Holy Spirit in a couple of weeks, but the Holy Spirit will come and he'll walk with you and he'll speak to you and he'll do all those wonderful things. But man, I would challenge you, before you got the first words of your needs to God, would you just recognize who he is? Recognize who he is. Remember Jesus? He's so good. Worship team, you can come back up here. Remember Jesus? He says, he's so kind to be able to come and just... and to show us, like, personally, like, relate to us as a brother, right? But then he goes up on this mountain. And he takes a couple of his disciples with him, and they go up on the mountain, and Jesus basically says, let me show you who I really am.